NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you ready?
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
What's going on, guys? It is January 15th. We are back for another review. This is Chris. You can find me on Twitter at TheCOPlaceToGo. I feel like I was just doing this. I feel like this was about 2 days ago, maybe 3 days ago at the most, and we were talking about Blackpool, which NXT UK is something that I don't, you know, watch. I'm not into the NXT UK brand just because I don't know the guys, like we've talked about for the past 2 weeks now. One thing I will say is I found myself today, before watching NXT, had a little bit of time, and I put on one of the highlights from NXT Blackpool. I turned on probably the last three, four minutes of the main event, which I absolutely hated, and I talked about that on my Blackpool review. And the pop that the Undisputed Era got was unbelievable. The crowd was as hyped up as I've seen a crowd in a very long time, and it was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. So I watched that, and I actually watched it again right before I did this. So I'm super excited about the direction that they're going for Worlds Collide with Undisputed Era and Imperium. So I just want to throw that out there first. Like, it is unbelievable what injecting a little bit of the Undisputed Era can do in anything. It was fantastic when they invaded, what was it, SmackDown? I think they invaded first. Survivor Series, War Games. Undisputed Era is gold. They're absolute gold. Do I think Roderick Strong is going to lose the belt to Keith Lee next week? I absolutely do. But they are still gold, regardless. So you can, you know, again, you can find me on Twitter at TheCOPlaceToGo. The Twitter, the for the show itself is the_WWE_podcast. Make sure you like, follow everybody who's on there, everyone who does a show. Like, retweet all the shows, just to get people heard. Wherever you're listening to us, whatever podcast platform you listen to us on, we appreciate it. Very, very much appreciate it. This week in wrestling happened today. Very sad news. Rocky Johnson passed away. He was 75 years old. He was a Hall of Famer, I think, I want to say in 2008. I might be wrong on that. 24 was the WrestleMania. I went to that in Orlando. It's the only Hall of Fame I've been to. In terms of WWE WrestleMania events, it was in Orlando, it was 2008. He's the father of The Rock, obviously. And they did a nice tribute today on NXT and AEW, for that matter. I did not see the one on AEW. I heard that they were doing one on AEW. Caught a brief glimpse of it online. AEW's, one thing I will say about them is they're a little tight on the like highlights that go directly to YouTube and things like that, where NXT is, you know, it's relatively quick. So if you want to catch kind of like snippets of what's going on, just to get an idea whether you want to watch the show or not, YouTube's pretty good with that. But AEW's a little tight, but I did hear they did a nice tribute. Again, Rocky Johnson, 75, you know, heartfelt apologies and everything to The Rock and his family. WWE Raw, I didn't think was very spectacular. I heard Kane is coming back on SmackDown for what? Who knows? Is he going to have a program with The Fiend? Maybe a short one. Possible. Is he going to announce he's going to go into the Rumble? Maybe. But I know he's coming in on SmackDown. Also on Raw, the only segment that I truly liked was the R-Truth segment, where Paul Heyman's talking about it's the truth. When he has these prophecies and blah, 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 and the truth comes out, he declares himself for the Royal Rumble and says he's going to essentially eliminate Paul Heyman. When Paul Heyman says you're an idiot, you are not, I am not in the Rumble, it is Brock Lesnar. R-Truth then takes himself out of the Royal Rumble, does this classic split, does some dance moves, and Lesnar hits him with an F5. I actually thought Lesnar might go for the pin, get the 24/7 championship, and maybe retire it for good, just basically take it, throw it in the trash. But he did not. He threw it back on R-Truth after that. Tonight in AEW, I didn't watch anything on the show at all, literally zero. I did see that they got an extension from Time Warner Media through 2023 for Dynamite. Also, so they're going to get a second show. I don't know when that is. I tried to find a date for the show. They just mentioned that they're going to get a spinoff is the wrong word, but they're going to get a second show. Like Nitro had Thunder, Raw has SmackDown. AEW Dynamite is getting a second show, which I always thought Dark was. I thought Dark, I guess it's just an online production or through like a Fight TV or something like that. But they will be getting a second show, and that's exciting for them. That's great news for them. Clearly, Time Warner enjoys the ratings that they're getting and wants to see that show continue on their airs, and it's great. You know, you don't want to see wrestling come and go super quick, you know, especially with some of the struggles Impact has had. Ring of Honor is on, you know, at best. I mean, with Sinclair Broadcasting, you know, it's on at best, like CW 44 at 1 a.m. CW 44 is a channel from 20 years ago in Tampa. I don't even know if that still exists, but, you know, it's good to see wrestling flourish, especially with for me, the main product of WWE kind of struggling these days. Next, we're going to get over to our birthdays. Quite a few birthdays today. Again, today's the 15th of January. First birthday. I'm going to go from probably least known or most unimportant to most important. First one's going to be Bull Buchanan. Bull Buchanan, for me, 52 today. Best known for being part of the Right to Censor group. He was also very, very short-lived tag team with John Cena, and same with a group called the Truth Commission, which I remember, but and like I can't put a face to what they look like. Google searched it, totally remember them, but Truth Commission is a name that kind of stands out, but doesn't really ring a bell when it comes to what they look like. Right to Censor, I mean, they had some names in that, you know, Stevie Richards, Godfather. It was an interesting group. I think Molly Holly joined for a little bit as well. Interesting group. Had a place in with going against like Val Venus and people like that. But it was an interesting group. Bo Buchanan, 52. You have Tucker. It was a very, very close call who I was going to go with first, who was least important. Tucker, he's part of the Heavy Machinery tag team, which I do think they're a decent tag team with him and Otis. Otis gets more FaceTime. He's with that strange program with Mandy Rose right now. You know, decent team there. They're more of a comedy act, to be quite honest. He's 30, quite young. Tucker Knight is quite young. Next is going to be Kelly Kelly. Now, Kelly Kelly, real name Barbie Blank. I've always thought her name was hilarious. You know, Barbie Blank is 33 today. And what's insane about that is Barbie Blank's only 33. I remember her being in it 10 to 15 years ago, when it was in the new reincarnation of ECW. She was one of the, I forgot what they called them, Extreme Exposé, was it? With Layla and somebody else. I'm not really sure who the other person was, but Layla was the other one who became famous. She debuted in, it was 2006, so we're talking 13 years ago. So she was 20 years old. Her background was gymnastics, cheerleading. She modeled for Venus Swimmer and Hawaiian Tropic. She left WWE about seven, 8 years ago. She's returned on occasion. She was there on the Raw reunion. She won the 24/7 champion, the championship, and she was the first woman to ever win the title. She pinned Gerald Briscoe. Like that's probably one of the highlights of her career. She did win the WWE Divas and Women's Championship. So, you know, it's, Kelly Kelly was awesome. She left at a good time. She was, what, probably, geez, 20, let's see, 20 years old, 27 by the time she left. I mean, she left, I don't want to say in her prime, but 26, 27 years old, leaving the business. That's fantastic if you could do that. And last but not least, Shane McMahon. Shane McMahon turns a crisp 50 years old today. It's crazy to think Shane McMahon's 50 years old. Some of the programs he had with, you know, Kurt Angle, X-Pac, obviously the match with The Undertaker, who's my favorite. Getting thrown off the top of the cage in a match the year after that. I thought it was going to be pretty rough against AJ Styles. But I will be 100% honest with you, that actually ended up being not a bad match. It was one of those things where it was better than expected. He ran a program with Daniel Bryan against, who was it, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, I believe, when they were still a tag team. 50 years old, son of Vince McMahon, left the business for a while, came back for that program with The Undertaker. One of my most memorable, three most memorable things with him, obviously the match with The Undertaker, getting thrown through the glass by Kurt Angle. That's one of the things everybody remembers. And then him, you know, when WCW was bought, he came out on TV and he was the owner. He's like, oh, well, you know, you're right, Dad. This says McMahon, but it says Shane McMahon. Vince McMahon is the owner of WCW, blah, blah, blah. That was good. Good stuff back in the day. Happy birthday to everybody there. Quite a few birthdays today. Quite a few. Last week's episode, the matches that were, to me, the matches that stick out. You had the Fatal 4-Way. Keith Lee was the right winner in that match over, who was it, Dijakovic. Who else? I don't even remember who else was in this match at this point. You know, because it was one of those things where it's like, Keith Lee stands out. Keith Lee, to me, is someone who I think can be a big-time star. He showed up tonight and really, really showed who he is and what he can be in this in NXT. And I just think that this is the beginning of a launch to being a top guy, if he's not already considered a top guy. But I think this is the launch for him to be considered as a top guy in NXT. Women's tag match was pretty good last week. Thought it was strange, you know, with Toni Storm saying that she wanted to fight Rhea Ripley, then they get in a tag team with Candice LeRae. It was a good match, great way to kick off the show. And the women's roster, I mean, tonight there's a battle royal to be number one contender. And let me tell you, the women's roster is in a great position in NXT. Whether Shayna Baszler sticks around or goes up to the main roster, you know, you don't know right now. I think she's set up to go up there. I don't think the Horsewomen should go up there. I think if they do, maybe a program with Ronda Rousey, it's fine. But, you know, Marina Shafir and Jessamyn Duke are not prepared for a main event run at all. If they're just managers, cool. If they're going to wrestle, terrible idea. And then the Dusty Classic started. Both matches to me were average matches. Even the Undisputed Era match, Fish and O'Reilly didn't look, you know, super impressive to me. That doesn't necessarily mean anything, but those tag matches to me were average at best. But it was a good start. And tonight's tag matches, let me tell you something, they wiped those matches off. Like, you wouldn't even know there were matches last week. You know, either one of these teams should be the winner. Very excited about the matches that we had tonight. Promos last week, you had Gargano come out. He was talking about Finn Balor. It is going to be in TakeOver Portland. You're going to see Finn Balor versus Johnny Gargano. It was fantastic. It was great stuff. Last week had a really good episode that kind of set some things up for this week, where this episode sets things up for next week, sets things up for Worlds Collide, sets things up for TakeOver Portland. It's all over the place. It's all over the place. And I'm wondering, you know, going into Royal Rumble weekend, obviously you got to get TakeOver Portland, but I'm just wondering, oh no, Worlds Collide first, I'm sorry, then that. Where do you go in the women's division? How many women from NXT are going to be in that Royal Rumble? I could see Rhea Ripley. I could see Shayna Baszler. You know, does Bianca Belair get in? Does Toni Storm? Does Kaylee Ray? Io Shirai? I mean, how many women from NXT make it? If they're doing 30, what do we give them, 10 spots? Is it only 20 from WWE that go in? Is that too many? Is 10 too many? I don't know. Not really sure. It's an exciting time for women's wrestling in NXT, on the main roster as well, but in NXT it's a very exciting time with a lot of new faces. Now we're going to move on to tonight's. So I'm going to preface this by, see, I'm going to take a look at some of the promos, because the promos were actually pretty good tonight. Typically there's 5 to 6 matches, sometimes 7 matches on some of the, you know, with some of the shorter matches and things like that. This event had 4 matches, which is surprisingly small for a 2-hour show. Obviously, there was a battle royal, And you know that was, you know, that was the women's battle royal for the number one contendership, which is fine. That was the main event. It was a good main event. The first match for a lot of these NXT lives are always, the best matches, to be quite honest. But the main event was good. This was an average to above average show overall, which, like I said, set up, you know, everything from next week to Worlds Collide all the way to TakeOver Portland. So it put it out there. But I'm going to go over some of the promos first, because the promos were very important in this night, and they started out right at the beginning. So right at the beginning of the show, Keith Lee comes out. He ends up getting interrupted by the Undisputed Era, which, of course, he gets beaten down. He gets his leg put in a chair, which gets, quote-unquote, crushed. And, you know, he obviously gets the trainers. And Tommaso Ciampa came out and made the save. A little bit further into the show, you had Ciampa. He's talking about Undisputed Era's hit list, how, you know, they've taken out Velveteen Dream, Keith Lee, Imperium, which, like I told you, the pop for that was amazing. Watch, it's about a 2-minute video on YouTube with the Undisputed Era and Imperium, which is fantastic. Make sure you take a look at that, and you can feel the energy in that crowd. Undisputed Era comes down to beat him up, and Johnny Gargano comes and makes the save. So now we got two guys making saves here. A little bit after that, you have Gargano talking in the back. And Ciampa comes up and says, hey, you know, appreciate the help tonight. He goes to walk away, and Gargano says, no, wait a second. Did you hear the challenge from Mustache Mountain? The way he said mustache was kind of funny. I had to rewind and be like, wait, what did he say? But did you hear the challenge from them? And they go, you know, why don't we do it one more time? And so Ciampa said DIY, and Gargano's like, yeah, DIY. So it's going to be DIY versus Mustache Mountain at Worlds Collide. Very excited about that. At the same time this is going on, Keith Lee, Undisputed Era, kind of comes up. They're getting ready to fight. Keith Lee comes through, pounces somebody, which I believe was a security guard. I'm not 100% sure. I didn't see who it was because the person disappears off the camera angle. Throws another guy on a car. Throws another guy on a table. I believe was a table. Keith Lee, super strong in this. You know, he said the prophecy will come to an end, blah, blah, blah. You know, that was some Undisputed Era talk a few weeks ago. Yeah, I can't see Keith Lee losing next week. You know, next week we got Roderick Strong versus Keith Lee for the North American Championship. You know, and something else is going to happen. Imperium is going to be on NXT. I'm very excited about that, to see Imperium on the show to face off against Undisputed Era face-to-face the week of the pay-per-view. So, again, very excited about that. Some big things coming up. And those were just promos. Those were just the promos, not even the matches. So if we get up to our matches here, we've got the first match. Like I said, the first match is always kicks off pretty strong. First match on a lot of these shows could be the main event on other shows. You know, this show, just with these four matches, to me, were a lot better than the overall Blackpool pay-per-view for what that is. Other than Tyler Bate, Jordan Devlin, it was a relatively weak show. On the first match, you had the Broserweights. This is, again, for the Dusty Classic. This is one of the first round matches. You got the Dusty Classic. You got Pete Dunne and Matt Riddle as the Broserweights, which I didn't know how that would go. I didn't know how the combination of two guys who haven't teamed up. You know, and you look at a guy like Pete Dunne, who the last 2 years has been pretty much screwed out by teammates. How is that going to work? But you had the Broserweights against Flash Morgan Webster and Mark Andrews. Now, again, not knowing who these guys were, not watching the NXT brand, I'm like, I don't know who these guys are. I mean, I didn't watch any videos to kind of like get an idea on them. But I was pleasantly surprised by Webster and Andrews. Pleasantly surprised. Great opener. I'm not going to get too much into this match. When he hit the Bro Derek on the outside, I was like, okay, that guy, that was Flash Morgan, that guy's done. It's game over. You know, you had Pete Dunne on the inside on Andrews, hit the bitter end, which went off of Riddle's knee, his like version of a go to sleep. It was a weird move at the end. it wasn't the end I thought. This match, the reason I don't want to go into it a lot is because I want everybody to watch this match. It was a great opener. Riddle and Dunn looked like a team that had been teaming up for, I'll say weeks, but years. They gelled. Their tag team moves look fantastic. There are a lot of chants for tag team wrestling and NXT, and this is awesome, and all kinds of stuff. I mean, Webster and Andrews, they delivered huge in this. And again, I don't know who these guys are, but they were fantastic. The crowd was into this match from beginning to end. It wasn't an Undisputed Era beating Imperium type pop, but it was big. I mean, this match for me got a 4 out of 5 stars with the Broserweights getting the win. I thought it was absolutely fantastic. This is a match that is a must-see, a must-watch. If you're going to watch this show, if you're going to watch one match from this show, this is the match to watch. It was fantastic. It was by far the best Dusty Classic match yet. Which the second match coming up, Time Splitters versus Grizzle Young Veterans, was the second best Dusty Rhodes Classic match of the 2 weeks. Just seeing Alex Shelley and Kushida together again was fantastic. I was very excited about that. I was surprised that they lost. So the Time Splitters did pick up the loss. The Grizzle Young Veterans won. And honestly, Grizzle Young Veterans, very cocky team. Good team. The match was good. I give it a 3 out of 5. The Grizzle Young Veterans, after they had like a nice little thing that they should be the favorites in this event. And blah, blah, blah. I'm going to be honest with you. They are not going to win it at all. They're not going to win it. I think, Gallus, I think, was a better team than them. Did they put on as good of a match? No, they didn't. Their match with Undisputed Era last week wasn't, too impressive. Andrews and Webster, they were a better team. They were a better watch than the Grizzly Young Veterans, but Time Splitters got the win. I don't know what to say about the Time Splitters. Their tag team moves were great. To me, the Time Splitters were by far the more superior team. I will say the move by the Grizzly Young Veterans, the Ticket to Mayhem is what they call it, is a nice move. Like, I like that move. It's similar to a Shatter Machine a little bit, a little bit similar to a Shatter Machine. But it looks great. Like I said, this gets a 3 out of 5. I was disappointed the Time Splitters didn't win. But after the match, Alex Shelley said that, any team from anywhere, Mexico, Canada, UK, US of A, anybody, come and face them. They're ready to go. I hope Alex Shelley wasn't a one-off, or maybe like a 2 or 3 match contract type thing. I hope he's kind of in it for a while. Use him very seldom. Use him just randomly. But I think it's nice with some direction for Kushida as well. And if it is in a tag version, I'm totally okay with that, as long as the tag team partner is Alex Shelley. I just don't think that he needs to go with anybody else. There's history. There's cohesiveness, everything with Alex Shelley. And I think the Time Splitters would be a huge and needed addition to this tag division in NXT. Next match was a surprise match. So had two tag team matches to start the night. First one was by far the best match of the night. I gave it a 4 out of 5 stars. Next one was a 3. This next one was a nice, transition into from the tag team wrestling over to Battle Royal. If you think about it, now that I'm actually thinking about this, there were no singles matches on this card, which was okay, because the promos and the setup that they did for next week and for Worlds Collide, and like I said, for TakeOver Portland in like 6 weeks, they set all that up quite well on this pay-per-view, quite well. So this next match you had was a triple threat match. The winner of this match is going to face Angel Garza and two people from the NXT UK, which they announced the winners. I'd already started doing this once I saw who it was in that match. I'm going to see if I can pull it up really quick. But it's a fatal four-way match for the NXT Cruiserweight Championship. So the winner of this match gets to face Angel Garza and two people who are going to be in a match next week on NXT UK. And I'm going to find that for you here real quick. Let me see if I can find that. But as we're talking about that, you had Tyler Breeze versus Leo Rush versus Isaiah Swerve Scott. Now, immediately in this match, I discount Tyler Breeze. And the only reason I say that is just because I feel Leo Rush as the past champion and Isaiah Swerve Scott just with the consistency of quality matches and things like that. I hate to discount somebody right away, but Swerve is just so good. And I just, Leo Rush being a former champion, you're going to throw his name in the hat anywhere again. Okay, so I got these qualifying matches here. Hold on one second. So next Thursday's WWE UK episode. The winners are going to advance to the Fatal Four. So your matches are Jordan Devlin versus Ligero. 100% honest, just looking at that, I couldn't tell you who Ligero is. To me, Jordan Devlin gets the win. 100%. Next match is the Brian Kendrick versus Travis Banks. Again, Brian Kendrick is a normal, he was in NXT, he was in 205 Live. He's been in WWE years past, things like that. I think he is set up more for a, I don't want to say doing favors, but he's more to put over enhancement talents and things like that. I think Travis Banks gets the win on this one. You're going to see Jordan Devlin, Travis Banks, and then you're going to have the winner of this match and Angel Garza, Fatal 4-Way at Worlds Collide. Worlds Collide is setting up to be a pretty stacked pay-per-view. Because we've got, at least six matches so far that are going to be on that pay-per-view. So, it's at least five, right? So you got DIY and Mustache Mountain, Imperium versus Undisputed Era, Rhea Ripley versus Tony Storm. You've got Finn Balor and Dragunov, I think. Aren't they facing each other, if I'm not mistaken? And you got the Fatal 4-Way for the Cruiserweight Champion. I guess that's it. So far, you got five. Finn Balor, I did see something today about him calling out Dragunov. I think that'll be exciting. I would love to see Finn Balor versus Jordan Devlin again, to be quite honest with you, over the other Dragunov fight, but it is what it is. You can't get what you want every time. So you got Tyler Breeze. Like I said, he's not exciting to me. He's gotten a tough break because the Fashion Police / Breezango, to me, is a great gimmick. Absolutely great gimmick. And I feel like they are made for that now. Tyler Breeze never really, I don't want to say he wasn't successful, he was around for a while, but he never really got the push that a lot of guys get when they're in NXT. A lot of moves in this, a lot of action. Leo Rush and Swerve Scott, to me, did a lot of the big time moves, and they're the ones that are going to get all the credit. I think it's justified, but I'm going to be honest, Tyler Breeze, hit it out of the park tonight. I would have to say that if he could put these matches on all the time, I don't want to see him with Fandango again. I don't want to see Breezango. Or if he could wrestle like this in a tag team match with Fandango, awesome, do it. But why don't you? Obviously, it's not his choice. They're not booked to do it. But, it was a fantastic match. It was, to me, 3 out of 5. This was definitely the second best match on the card. And it was the match before the main event. Like I said, Leo Rush and Isaiah Swerve Scott put on just an absolute clinic. Leo Rush hit the final hour on Swerve Scott. He hit it on Breezango, or I keep saying Breezango, but Tyler Breeze. Scott tries to dump Leo Rush out, but Rush ends up bouncing off the ropes, hitting him with a come up. Scott returns. After that, who ends up taking out Rush after, Breezango gets up and he hit Breeze with the JML driver. I'm going to tell you something. That driver, I didn't know where they were going with that. I thought they were going with like a face buster or something like that. I never have seen that move before. After hearing the name and things like that, it was absolutely fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And this match, to me, 3.5 out of 5. I've been saying since October that Isaiah Swerve Scott / Killshot deserves a shot, and this will be his time to shine. Is he gonna win? No, I don't think anybody from NXT UK is gonna win. I don't think Swerve Scott's going to win either. I think it's going to be Angel Garza. I think between Garza, Leo Rush, and Swerve Scott, we've got three guys there who are destined to be awesome in the cruiserweight division. Obviously, there's going to be other guys, but those guys are great. I think that, you know, they put on good, entertaining matches. This match, this triple threat match, was for me very entertaining. It was, like I said, the second best match. I feel the first one had so much energy in it at the beginning that it's going to be hard to knock that one off as best match of the night. But this one definitely performed well, and I'm excited about the direction of the Cruiserweight Champions. This is probably the first time ever in my life that I've said I'm excited to see a match for the Cruiserweight Championship on a pay-per-view, and hopefully it's not on the pre-show. And that takes us to our main event. So our main event was a battle royal to see who the number one contender for the women's division and the women's title. So the number one contender to face Rhea Ripley. Now I'm going to name off the women in this match. Then I'm going to tell you, let's see, how long was this match? About 18 to 25 minutes, somewhere in there. About 18 minutes, if I'm not mistaken. It was a match that if you skipped probably the first half of it, you were doing okay. It wasn't a match that I feel was booked well at the beginning. Again, it's weird because it's a battle royal. Like, how much can you actually do in a battle royal that's different from usual? You're going to have those spots on the side where the person almost gets knocked out. But considering the first about 10 minutes of this match, to me, was pretty slow. The back half totally made up for the beginning, and it ended up being a decent match. You know, I'll give it a 3 out of 5. You know, with a battle royal, for me, 3 out of 5 is pretty solid. Just because, you know, you know what to expect. You've got two or three people who you think may win. So in this one, I'm going to name off the names who are in it, and we'll go from there. So you had Candice LeRae, Mia Yim, Bianca Belair, Casey Catanzaro, Mercedes Martinez, who's relatively new in the division, Shotzi Blackheart, Dakota Kai, Vanessa Bourne, Kayden Carter, Santana Garrett, Io Shirai. Did I just say Tegan Nox? Tegan Nox and Xia Li. So, the one thing I didn't understand about this is they built Shayna Baszler up as like a monster. Like, you know, Kane back in the day in Royal Rumbles, and Roman Reigns more now these days in Royal Rumbles. They were guys who would knock everybody out. And it ended up being a very similar situation with this. I feel like Shayna Baszler was primed to win. Like, you know, if you turn on the match, you look at who's in it, you know, you got Shayna Baszler. For me, it was Shayna Baszler, Bianca Belair, Io Shirai. I think those are the three that truly deserved it. I think if they pushed somebody like Dakota Kai too early, it would have been a problem. I don't remember seeing Dakota Kai in the ring, but I know she was listed as a possible participant. But I don't remember seeing her. Like, I don't remember seeing her be in the ring. I know she does end up coming out. Tegan Nox is on the apron. Io Shirai sent her up on the apron, but ended up getting a forearm to the face. Now, when she goes up to the top rope, Dakota Kai comes out and pulls her off the top, which eliminates her. At that point, Dakota Kai, it looked like a tough shot. It looks like she threw the knee brace, and it looked like she hit her right in the face. That was a little rough. It continues their feud. Do they have a match at TakeOver Portland? I would think so. I would think they're going to extend this. And I just hope they don't waste it for a NXT Live. Now, what I will say is if they do waste it on that, it's because they found 4 to 5 better matches to put on the pay-per-view. You know, so you're going to look at the women's match. You're going to look at the Gargano match. You're going to have at least one Undisputed Era match. That's 3 already. You know, where do you go? You have 1, maximum 2 more matches that could be put on there. So in reality, do you have her on there. And you know what? As I'm reading this, Dakota Kai was not in there. She was on the original list of who was going to be in there, but she was not actually in there. It ends up being Bianca Belair, Shayna Baszler, and Io Shirai at the end. Bianca Belair, I believe, is the one who ends up knocking out... I'm sorry, Shotzi Blackheart gets not knocked out, but she goes under the bottom rope. And that's the one thing. That's the thing that I've hated about the Rumbles lately is with people going out underneath the rope. Or Roman Reigns. What was it? Last year, the year before, it takes like a 20 to 30 minute break in the Rumble and comes back. What in the world is that? Like, just things are so different. You know, in the NBA, you got guys taking rest days. I don't remember people taking rest days back in the day. Why is everyone so tired? You play the same amount of games. Is the game different? Yeah. Are you bigger? Yeah. But you're still not as big as Bill Russell was when he used to play, or Will Chamberlain, or even Shaq. He didn't take rest days. Towards the end of his career, he did, because he couldn't walk. You've seen his feet. But Shotzi Blackheart was never eliminated. She went out under the bottom rope. She ends up coming back in, and she ends up knocking out Shayna Baszler. Shayna Baszler had the Kirifuda clutch on Io Shirai. I thought Io Shirai was done. But this was big for Shotzi Blackheart. I told you I was high on her recently when she wrestled. It was 2 to 3 weeks back. I'm excited to see her. I'm excited to see more of her. I think she's going to put herself in the division. I mean, she's not by any means top six or seven in the division right now, but she could get up there for sure. So she returns. She knocks out Shayna Baszler, which was huge. Io Shirai slips back in. Bianca ends up sneaking in and throwing her over the side, which ends up knocking her out. So you got Bianca Belair and Io Shirai against each other. They end up going back and forth for a little bit, which, like I said, the last half of this was fantastic. There's a huge a KOD by Bianca Belair for Io out to the floor. Now, Io Shirai landed insanely. I feel like she over-rotated when she was leaving the ring. I haven't seen anything about her being injury or having an injury, and I really, really hope she doesn't, because I like Io Shirai. I think Bianca is the perfect challenger for Rhea Ripley to begin her, you know, challenging for the belt. I do feel at some point Io Shirai might get it. You know, I think she might. There might be some seeds planted. I do see some type of like triple threat or something for Mania weekend with Shayna Baszler kind of in there. This was a decent one, which, like I said, Shayna Baszler, you thought, you know, with her knocking people out and just knocking people around in general, that she was going to get the win, but ended up doing quite well. And I actually enjoyed it. 3 out of 5. I don't really enjoy Battle Royals. I enjoy the Royal Rumble because you never know who the surprise is. But Battle Royals in general to me aren't super exciting. So what stood out tonight? I already told you about all the promos that stood out. Tonight was very promo-heavy, which was fine. DIY is coming back, even if it's for a one-night-only type thing. I would say the episode in general was awesome. You know, there were 4 matches, which is very small. Takeover, similar. All the backstage segments and everything, like I said, fed seeds to future programs or continuing feuds. Or what are we expecting in a week? What are we expecting in 10 days, 2 weeks? First tag match, of course, was awesome for me. The Broserweights were the shining star of the night. I mean, and to be honest, that whole match, Flash Morgan Webster and Mark Andrews were awesome too. And the Battle Royal was pretty good for being a Battle Royal. So, you know, next week we got Roderick Strong and Keith Lee for the North American Championship. Imperium will be on. We should find out who or close to who will be the 2 competitors for the Cruiserweight belt. We got some clarity on the fact that it is still going to be Toni Storm regardless versus Rhea Ripley, unless they add in Kaylee Ray at the last second. You know, you never know what they're going to do. And for Worlds Collide, I feel like it should be. But again, I'm surprised Toni Storm didn't win. But do yourselves a favor. Watch this first match. watch the reaction that the Undisputed Era get after they battle with Imperium at the Blackpool takeover. Just see the reaction of when they storm the ring after it. It is unbelievable. I'm going to be back with you again next week. And then next week we also have the Worlds Collide pay-per-view. So we got a lot going on here. In 2 weeks we're going to have 4 shows total, which is fantastic. Please go to my Twitter at @TheCOPlaceToGo. Any questions, comments, concerns, whether it's good stuff, toxic stuff, I don't care. Say something. I want to talk to you guys about the show. It has been a blast the last few days talking wrestling, and I hope to talk to you soon.